Welcome to the Business Advisor Podcast, brought to you by the Business Advisor Academy. This podcast is dedicated to helping business professionals create, sell, and deliver high impact and high value business advisory services. Now, let me introduce you to your host today, Amanda C. Watts.
Hello, hello, and welcome to today's podcast. And what we're talking about is something that 99% of you just can't seem to get your heads around, and that is niching. Having worked with financial pros since 2016, I've seen a huge divide in the profession. There are firms that niche and go all in, and there are firms that avoid it like the plague. Now, don't get me wrong, niching is a mindset pivot for many, and I have seen firms struggle for years resisting niching and then choose to go all in, and voila, they have massive success. But to niche is to be brave. You have to not let your victim mind take over, and you have to make sure that you move into the visionary and see beyond the fear and take action. Whilst I have seen firms that niche add huge revenue onto their top line, I have also seen this huge increase even more on their bottom line, because niching does something more than you can imagine to your income and your financial opportunities. And I get that you might be scared to niche, to go all in on pigeonholing your business with one kind of client, but I can assure you, it is worth it. Bravery is needed as the first step, and then you will receive the rewards. My client Poole, who has been a client of mine now for about 5 years, decided to niche with the hospitality industry. She specializes in helping restaurants add additional locations and build a hospitality empire. This is a really good niche, and she is the bravest person I've ever met when it comes to niching. I am so proud of her. As you well know, when COVID hit in 2019, restaurants and hospitality venues had to close. Many, many hospitality businesses went under, and they were certainly not looking for help to get more locations during COVID. Most accountants would have decided to throw in the towel and give up on the niche and pivot to something new. But no, not Poole. A strong woman who knows her mind and has a vivid vision, she decided to hold on tight through the 2 years of turbulence. And while she did not dramatically increase her revenue during this time, she did spend time growing her audience. She created a signature offer, Bespoke, for her ideal clients, and she built a fan base by helping restaurant owners through the quagmire of uncertainty. She showed up every week to our coaching calls. She invested heavily in getting her marketing spot on for her niche. She even brought in an assistant to help her. For 2 years, she did not see the business growth that she would have seen outside of COVID, because it just wasn't happening in the restaurant trade. But then in 2022, things started to shift, and all her hard work of doubling down into a niche during COVID and supporting that niche industry paid off, adding an average of £150,000 a year in fees. But here is the thing. These fees are 3 times the fees she was charging before COVID. She had built up such a reputation in the hospitality industry that her work was perceived as far more valuable when we came out the other side of COVID. Her marketing paid off, her resolve paid off, and she is going from strength to strength. So why did Poole have this resolve to go all in and ride the COVID wave? Well, to be honest, she understood why niching was so important. Unlike many of you, she niched in spite of her fear. Unlike many, she didn't try it for a week and then give up. She tried it for years and then saw the compound effect kick in. Unlike many, she didn't want to be fishing in the same pool as everybody else for clients, hoping someone would see her value. And unlike many, she knew that if she could just have one niche, one strong offer, and one marketing channel that she worked like fury, she would eventually see huge success. Because here is the thing, most people don't niche because they either don't know which niche to choose, or they're scared that if that niche that they choose, they will get bored after a while. Some accountants and bookkeepers even tell themselves that niching is a bad idea, which is codswallop, as niching is proven to work. Otherwise, us marketers wouldn't be telling you to do it. As a marketer, I only win when my clients win, so why would I tell you to do something that was a bad idea? Hopefully you're getting the point here. As I'm recording this podcast, I'm thinking I'm maybe being a little bit naggy, but I do apologize in advance. This is a serious subject though. Diving into the world of niching can be like going on a road trip, a journey, but niching turns it from a good journey to a great journey. Now, in a moment, I'm going to share with you the three ways you can niche your business advisory offering, but for now, let me just summarize why you should niche. First, it can spotlight your skills. By focusing on a niche, you become the go-to person for specialist knowledge. Now, as you know, if you were looking for brain surgery, you would go to a brain surgeon, not a generalist doctor, to work on your brain. And the brain surgeon is far more wealthy than the generalist doctor because they're a specialist rather than a generalist. The knock-on effect of being a specialist is higher revenue for you. I am a specialist in helping you create advisory, coaching, and consulting offers that you can sell as high-value services. This is what differentiates me from every other business coach for financial professionals. What I do is specific, not generalist. Now, you might be thinking, Amanda, you work with finance experts. Is that not a niche? And yes, it is a niche. But what I do is what I would call a micro niche. And as I said, I'll explain more in a moment. Let's look at other reasons why you might want to niche. So the second reason is fine-tuning your marketing. Marketing becomes an absolute breeze when you know exactly who your audience is and what you help them with. Another great thing about niching is efficiency. When you're working with a specific niche, you can systemize and ensure you have processes in place that get everything super streamlined. You can reduce your software costs because you only need a couple of pieces of software. All of your clients function in a similar way, so you don't need to have a diverse range of software opportunities. When you niche, clients feel loved and understood. It's easier to build trust when your clients see you as the expert. And when your clients trust you, they act on what you say to them. There is way less competition when you niche too. Less competition means far more stage time. You're not a face in the crowd, you're a headline act. This means better client retention and more client referrals. And then to circle back on my first point, specialization enables you to command premium pricing. If you can create a specialized solution for your audience that transforms your clients' businesses and their lives, then you can command good money for it. Okay, so if the idea of making more money, streamlining processes, and having clients love what you do feels like a good idea, now I'm going to share with you the different ways you can niche. First, you have what we call a horizontal niche. This is a niche where you specialize in a particular service, but this service is open for everyone. So you focus on your product, and your product is the niche. For example, being a tax advisor to everyone, your specialism is as a tax advisor. The problem with this is that you're still fishing in a large pool with other tax advisors. And unless you have a specific methodology for delivering your tax advice, you're going to struggle to differentiate yourself. It's a bit like a marketer horizontal niching and saying that they specialize in Facebook ad marketing, so they help everyone with Facebook ads. Now, there are a lot of Facebook advertising companies out there. Okay, so the next level is a vertical niche. I really like vertical niching. It's a great place to start. And vertical niching enables you to niche your marketing, not your entire practice. Vertical niching is where you choose an industry. Like my client Poole, who works with restaurants, or my client Kevin, who works with kitchen and bathroom businesses, or my client Sally, who works with wedding suppliers. Restaurants, kitchen and bathroom businesses, and wedding suppliers are all what we would call a vertical niche. And as I said, this is perfect for niching your marketing, not your entire practice. So you can run a marketing campaign for a specific industry sector and target those specific people, but also take on clients outside of your marketing campaign niche. It is where I always suggest my clients start, because until you have tried a niche on for size, you will not know if they are really a good fit. You might think that they look good on paper, but are they fun to work with in real life? And can they afford you? And as some of you know, I haven't always worked with finance pros. Back in 2013, I was a generalist marketer and I was struggling. So I decided to give a niche a go. And the niche I chose was the restaurant trade. For 9 months, I marketed to restaurants. I got about 15 clients. I made 100K in revenue. I wrote a book on marketing for restaurants. And then, 9 months after I'd started working with them, I threw my hands up in the air, broke down in tears, and quit working with restaurants overnight. Now, some of you might say, but Amanda, that's exactly why you do not want to niche. But I would say, I made a heck load of money in that time to go from someone on housing benefit, as I was, to making 100K in 9 months. And I also learned so much in that time that when I pivoted to my next niche, I made £400,000 over the following 2 to 3 years. Everything you try when it comes to marketing is learning, and you won't learn anything if you do not try anything. When I first started working with accountants in 2016, I vertical niched. I opened up my shop as a generalist marketer for accountants. At the start, it was great. There was only myself and one other person here in the UK that really specifically helped accountants with marketing. I got hundreds of clients, and then a few of my clients went on to become coaches for accountants themselves, and they had learned my methodologies and had huge success that they became my competitors. But that was okay, because I just innovated and I knew I had to pivot. Not pivot my niche, but pivot my offer. Which leads me to the third kind of niching, which is what I call a micro niche. A micro niche is a combination of vertical niching and horizontal niching. It's a niche audience and a niche offer. And I'm a great example of a micro niche because what I do is helping accountants create, sell and deliver an advisory offer. The creating, selling and delivering is horizontal. I could actually help many professionals with this offer. I could help any service-based business become a business advisor, pretty much. But when I combine that offer with financial pros, which is the vertical niche, this is where we have what I call a micro niche. And this is the most powerful niching of all, because it makes us what we call a category king. No one else does what I do, like I do, using the methodology that I have to the people I serve, which is financial professionals. And this is why my clients stay with me for 5 years or more, because I'm completely unique. But here is the lesson. You can be unique too. You can horizontal niche, which will make you different because you have an expertise. You can vertical niche, which will enable you to go after a particular audience. Or you can combine both and have a micro niche, which makes you an expert for a particular kind of industry and puts you as a category king. This will give you more time, more money, and more freedom. You can charge more for your services, and you can install the processes to get your time back. So the next question is, how do you choose a niche? Well, I don't want you to overcomplicate this thinking. Not knowing which niche to choose is the thing that cripples most firm owners from choosing one. And as I have described today, you can go all in on a niche and then just pivot. A niche isn't for life. You can try it on and see if it's a fit. So with that in mind, there are a few things you need to consider before you choose a niche to try. First, niching is meant to make your life easier, not harder. So please choose a niche that is huge. A niche where there are thousands and thousands and thousands of businesses available for you to market to. Marketing is a numbers game, and the bigger your ideal audience, the more opportunities you're going to be able to have for yourself. So choose an industry that can be found online, preferably LinkedIn or Instagram. Next, your chosen audience needs to have money. Startups are not a great niche if you want to be charging someone a few thousand pounds a month for your advisory services. So choose a niche that has cash. A business that has at least a revenue of 200 to 500k is absolutely the best place to start. Anything less than this, and they will not get the benefit from your advisory offering. Thirdly, they have to have a problem that you can fix. There's no point in choosing a niche that doesn't have a problem that you're an expert in solving. If your niche are good with the financials, you might want to steer clear as they won't need you so much, unless, of course, you want to offer something other than financial advisory, which, of course, is definitely something you can explore if you have the skills to do so, and I can help you with that. And then finally, you kind of got to like them. I love working with finance pros. You're my people. I am super introverted, and I don't particularly like large crowds and noisy places, and the majority of you guys and gals don't either, so we gel well. You're my people, and I am yours. Now, before I sign off today, there's one more thing you can do if you already have a client base and you want to choose a niche from people you currently work with, and that is that you can grade your current clients. You can mark your clients out of 10 against certain criteria, and then you can add up all the marks out of 10, and the niche with the highest score could be the one you decide to choose. So I'm going to give you some questions and criteria to grade your current clients. Remember to mark each client out of 10, and then add up your marks and put them in order. If you have hundreds and hundreds of clients, then choose your top 20 and just grade those. So question one is, do you like them? Grade them out of 10. Is their annual revenue above 250k or even 500k? If you're an outsourced CFO, you probably want this number to be above 1 million. Mark out of 10 if they have high revenue already. 3. Do they already pay you well? Mark it out of 10. 4. Your profit on this client, are they profitable? 5. Are they vampires or radiators? Do they suck the life out of you or do they radiate warmth? 6. Do they refer you? 7. Do they respond quickly to you? 8. Do they appreciate you? 9. Do they pay you on time? 10. Do they listen to you? These 10 questions will help you see who is a good client and who is not, and then from there you can go with your gut. You might weigh some questions higher and more important than others. Whether you like your ideal client or not might be more important than if they refer you. But that's for you to decide, as we're all unique and these questions are there to get you thinking and guide you and make a decision on your ideal niche. You can add your own questions if you want to. So let's recap on some of the key points that I've mentioned today. 1. Niching is going to make your marketing easier. With this in mind, niche your marketing, not your practice, in the first instance, and try a niche on for size. By niching your marketing, you will not be passing up on opportunities. You can still work with other businesses or on other specialisms. 2. Niching will make you more money. Specialists can command a much higher fee. Data says so. It's a proven fact. And it is only your fear that stops you from going all in. 3. Niching in a particular industry is not about niching forever. It's about trying it on for size. 4. If you can get a huge list of potential clients and say the right thing to them, you will be able to get more clients. So micro-niching is the holy grail. The right offer for a right niche industry will sell like hotcakes. And that's that, folks. Niching your business advisory offer is a no-brainer. And today I have a free gift for you. If you're wanting to get my Niche Narrower worksheet for free, which is the exact same worksheet I give my clients, then do connect with me on LinkedIn and send me a message asking for the Niche Narrower worksheet. Please don't forget to let me know that you heard about this offer through the podcast episode. And with that in mind, I'll wind up today's episode. Don't forget to message me on LinkedIn. I'm hanging out there. You'll find me as Amanda C. Watts. And have a great day or night, wherever you are.
Thank you for listening to the Business Advisor podcast. If you've enjoyed today's episode, don't forget to follow or subscribe, share this podcast, and leave a rating and review. To discover more about how you can confidently build an advisory offer into your practice that your clients and prospects won't say no to, we invite you to join Amanda on her next webinar, How to Launch and Scale Your Advisory Offering. Join her by visiting businessadvisoracademy.com/webinar. See you soon.